Welcome to The Hidden World of Women, a podcast brought to you by Women's Health and Wellbeing Services. My name is Emma and I'll be your host for today's episode.
This is part two of the interview with Penny talking about her life as a blind woman. Part one was released last week. We hope you enjoy the rest of this episode.
So when I first met you,
yep.
You would ride your bike.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yep.
And I found out that you were blind and riding your bike.
Yep.
And
at night.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, and yep. Like in places where sometimes we were in places that were a bit dodgy and you would ride your bike at night.
Yep. Well, I figured it was faster than walking.
That is so true. So true. But often there would be things like honky nuts on the floor and things yep. like that. But even without that, how safe is it for a blind person to ride a bike?
Depends on your skill level.
But you can't see, Penny.
Well, I stop if I run into something. And then it just comes down to your ability to land safely.
Stop, drop and roll.
Exactly. It probably wasn't safe.
Okay.
But I felt capable of doing it at the time. And like I said, it's faster than walking.
Yeah.
You know, if you're walking, you're a whole lot slower and in that situation a lot longer.
Yeah.
Plus, I had been living in that environment for 20 years or so.
Yeah.
I knew the lay of the land.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter whether it was daylight or dark.
Mm.
I know where the curbs are.
Well, that's it. The trees don't move just because it's dark,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I yeah. know where the, you know, the biggest problem I think I would have ever encountered, which I luckily never did, would be somebody wearing black walking along the yeah. along the street.
Yeah.
But when I was riding my bike, I tended to stick right to the to the side of the road.
I'd have been ringing my bell the whole way. Blind lady coming through. Lady.
Yeah, exactly. But most of the time I wouldn't even encounter a person, yeah. you know.
That I saw.
You know, that let me know that they were there.
Yeah.
Nobody was jumping and screaming for, like, you almost ran over me. No, nothing like that.
But, like, you're not the only blind person who I know who rode a bike.
Oh, unfortunately, there are still some people on that very edge of that spectrum who still have driver's licenses that haven't been taken away yet.
Oh.
You know, there's, yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting situation when you've got somebody who's
I'm assuming you've feeling, never driven, right?
I've never driven. Yeah. Well, I have.
On a farm?
No, I actually had a friend in America.
Oh, my
let
God.
Let me drive his Cadillac in a great big car park. He took me to learn how to drive. So that was my first car.
A Cadillac.
Sorry, first and only car.
On the wrong side of the road, but it doesn't matter because you didn't learn how to drive on exactly. the other side of the road. So you couldn't see the road anyway.
It was just a big flat expanse of pavement, yeah. So it was fine. It's all good. It was just fun. So,
oh my God.
He was very brave, though. Yeah. Even a big expanse of pavement, I technically could have found something to run into. But I didn't.
Well, I mean, you haven't gone through the experience of teaching your kids to drive.
No. Which is quite frustrating, actually. Yeah. Because, you know, quite often they want to do lessons. Because I've got two in that. One who's got his P's now, but one who's learning.
Yeah.
And I can't pitch in. I'm sorry. You'll have to wait for somebody else.
Do you know what? That's one of the silver linings of being blind, I'd say.
There are a few. Yeah. There are a few.
Yeah.
I never have to be the designated driver on nights
out.
Yeah. It's great.
What a shame.
Heartbreaking.
Have you ever, I want to talk about assistive technology, but have you ever used being blind
to get
to
out
your
of
advantage?
Oh, for sure. Scab duty at school.
Oh.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't see the rubbish. I know that's what I'm meant to be doing, but I don't know where it is.
I've got four leaves and an acorn.
Yeah, I just spend all my time trying to pick up leaves and then they take pity on me and just go, no, just go and sit over there.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
You know, there has been situations where I definitely have. There's also situations where I've played the blind card because I've been in a situation where, like, usually I'd want to be independent.
Yeah.
And eventually I have to just, I mean, I've got my cane on one occasion where I was at a hotel. My card, I was trying to put my card into the door.
Yeah.
And they'd given me the wrong card or it wasn't programmed correctly. And somebody else opened the door from the other side and I'm like, look, I'm really sorry. And I went down and I got the correct directions and went up to another room and the card still wouldn't work. And I went down there eventually and just slammed my cane on the desk and said, look, somebody's going to have to take me up there and fix this because it's not working.
Third time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Blind lady problems.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, there has been circumstances like that. Airports, you know, it's faster to actually say or you know, declare that I am blind and get taken to the gate more than once. I've been on the cart whisking through the airport in front of everybody.
Depends on the
situation, but it is useful sometimes.
Gotta find a silver lining somewhere, right?
Absolutely.
And if getting through airport security can be easier,
yes,
go for it.
Yes. Even in I went to the dental hospital in Perth, and they've got two sections and they're miles apart from each other, and I ended up at the wrong one. And, you know, I was trying to get the directions to the other one.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lady was just like, I'll get somebody to come with a golf cart. And off we went in the golf cart. And it's like, yes. Thank you. Like everybody else, they would have just gone, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep walking. You'll find it.
You'll find it.
Yeah. You know, so we went whisking through on the golf cart, which is great.
Nice.
There's perks.
Yeah.
There's perks. Yeah. Plus, I never have to see some things. Like you were saying, on the train, I miss out on some things that are entertaining, like what's going on.
Yeah.
You know.
You didn't get to see the woman with the clown lipstick.
Exactly. I didn't get to see that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I also don't get to see somebody violently ill.
Yeah. I mean, or, you smell it, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, you there's some things that I'm glad I miss.
Yeah. Are there any myths with being blind that you're like, well, that's just not true?
The biggest one that comes to mind is the whole black blind thing. You know, it's not just dark.
Yeah.
It's not like you opened your eyes in a dark room. It's, it's like looking out your elbow. There's just nothing there to see.
What about the idea of needing to feel myths that we all faces?
I don't know anybody who does that.
No.
No. I don't know anybody who does that ever. It's just not cool. And we're happy with the imagination of... See, we don't even discuss when we, when we enter a room. Like, I don't... Even if I was totally blind, I don't know anybody who walks into a room and says, well, what do you look like? Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
What do you look like?
And you wouldn't go in there and go, hi, I'm Emma. I'm 5'3".
Exactly. No. We don't care.
Yeah.
We just... It's a visual thing that we just don't... It doesn't matter unless it comes up in conversation.
Yeah.
You know, unless we're talking about something where it becomes a relevant thing, and then you might actually say, oh, I'm too short to reach that. Or...
Yeah. I think the closest that I've got is I was teaching a belly dancing class, and I had one class where I had quite a few vision impaired people in the room, and one woman was totally blind. And so occasionally she would say, can I put my hands on your hips to feel what they're doing?
Exactly. Exactly.
But that's very different to...
Self-defence course.
Yeah.
With the same scenario. Yeah. It's like, because, you know, the way you might move your arm or whatever is not a easily described thing.
And, I can describe to you how to move, like how I would move my hips.
Yes.
But normally I would describe it as I'm showing you.
Yes.
And...
Exactly.
To try and go... Well, it's like trying to...
If you turn the lights off,
It's
really hard to convey that. Actually, that would be an interesting experiment, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, put people in a dark room and explain to them how to do something foreign to them. Yep.
Yeah.
And then turn the lights back on and say, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. And how different is that?
How correct were you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be actually a very interesting experience to do that. I'll have to throw that one at the one of the OTs.
See
if they've done that. It could be a very interesting OT training experience. Maybe we've just reinvented the wheel. I don't know.
Yeah, you can count on us.
Absolutely.
What about the idea that all of your other senses become much more heightened?
Become more aware of them.
Yeah.
That's all that happens.
Mm.
It's not that your hearing is better.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that your sense of smell is better. It's just that you are, you become more aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
And like I say, my brain does the heavy lifting for my vision.
Yeah. That must just be so incredibly exhausting.
Yeah. Yep. And that's something that I've only really discovered recently, that it's not just me who's an absolute cow of a person by 7 p.m.
Yeah.
It happens to a lot of blind women, but particularly mothers.
Yeah.
Because you're just spent. Because you've spent all day filling in the blanks, making sense of the world.
Yeah.
Plus doing all the things that you needed to do and keeping track of all the stuff you need to keep track of and working out what you need to do tomorrow and get to bed.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And I always
say... And you can't send a 19-year-old to bed at 7 o'clock anymore.
No. No. Well, thankfully, he doesn't often come out of his room, so I don't have to try. Yeah. And quite often we text these days. Yeah. It's not just, not just face-to-face conversations. Yeah. But the other one for me is, and I don't know that, again, speaking just for me, I see better when it's quiet.
Yes.
Because it's if it's too loud...
There's just too much.
Yep, there's too much... And this is like, I am not sure if I have ADHD, ADD, but there is a crossover of the overwhelm part of it. There's definitely a crossover.
Yeah.
When there's too much stimulus going on, I can't focus on what I need to see.
I experienced similar during COVID when everybody was wearing masks.
Masks were terrible.
Yeah.
It was awful.
So I have some hearing loss and I didn't realise how much I rely on lip reading.
Yep.
Until everything was in Zoom. And the Zoom would be glitchy because everybody was using Zoom.
They're all running.
And their mouths weren't moving.
Weren't moving at the same face.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or everyone was in masks.
Yes.
And it's that same kind of thing with your brain having to do the heavy lifting because I need to fill in the gaps and fill in the blanks, and how much more exhausting it was. And that was only for a short period of time. So I can't imagine living 49 years with trying to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly that. When there was other things going on, like I need everybody to sit incredibly still.
Absolutely.
Don't move. Like, let me just focus on one thing.
Yep.
Because that's all I've got capacity for now.
I mean, sometimes I go to the toilet. It's not because I need to go. Yeah. It's because I need...
I just need 5 minutes.
5 minutes to just...
Yeah.
...sit alone.
Yeah.
And just...
And now your kids are old enough that they're not coming in and there's not fingers coming into the toilet door.
I mean, the dog kind of sits right beside the door, but that's okay. She can stay there. She's not bothered. She's
not
harassing
asking me for anything.
No, exactly. And then you'll be sitting there and it'll be like, where are you?
I'm like, I'm not nowhere.
But I quite often wear noise-cancelling headphones through my house. You know, I can still hear enough to know what's going on around me, but it takes the edge off, takes the volume down, you know, so that I can actually have that little bit of spare brain space to, you know, to work with what I need to work with. Because, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Noise is just...
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And with 5 kids. I didn't plan that.
Five kids, a husband, and a dog, and a cat. There
and
must
a cat.
Be a lot of
and
noise.
And a noisy budgie.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, you know, budgie. We need. Who doesn't need a noisy budgie?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things.
Mm.
You know, I didn't plan it well. I didn't know.
That's it. And then once you're in the situation, well, it's too late now, isn't
it? Exactly.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Absolutely. But I keep on reminding myself these days are limited.
They really are. Yeah.
You know, I've got one that's 19.
Yeah.
The last one is 7.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting...
In a blink it's going to be...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, every time I have to tell off my younger one for doing something, I keep thinking, this might actually be the last time I actually have to deal with this.
Yeah.
There's no next one coming to deal with this problem.
Yeah.
You know. So that actually makes it easier. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, that's it. Mm.
You know, it's good to have your awareness of that you need that quiet time.
Yeah.
You know, and one of these days I'm going to book myself a silent retreat because I'm sure I could do it.
I don't know. You might go insane.
Nah.
You're like the
shock. I reckon
shock.
I could rock it. I reckon I could rock it. I could totally sit there in my own space for like a week.
Mm.
And not have to communicate. I think it'll be brilliant. Dreams.
Oh, yeah,
I'm willing to give it a shot. Let's put it that
that's
way.
That's it. I'd be prepared to give it a go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you were at school,
you
had your nose to the paper and you had your magnifying glass and you learnt Braille. I'm assuming that was like a Braille typewriter.
Yes.
And now, I mean, there's quite a few people who have never learnt Braille, and now it's all about the different tech.
Tech is definitely invading the space in a big way. There's some blind people I know these days don't even learn Braille. It's not something, but it's still a very useful, I believe, it's still a very useful tool. It's great for signage outside doorways.
Yeah.
It's great for labels, you know, so you can quickly reference things.
Yeah.
At a bare minimum. Yeah, it's quite often some medications will have Braille on the packaging if you actually pay attention.
Yeah.
It's not really fantastic Braille, but it's readable.
Yeah, yeah. Now you say that, I have seen
super
that.
Important.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I think people should still learn, but I know so many people who don't.
And do you use it, like, every day?
No. I actually feel like I need to go back and do a bit of a refresher course because it's something I can still read the alphabet, I can still type the alphabet, but Braille actually has all sorts of extra symbols for things like T-I-O-N will be brought down to one symbol.
Ah, right, yeah.
You know, to contract things and make it faster and quicker to read and smaller in volume. But these days they've got Braille screens, so you can actually read the pins. There's pins inside that will go up and down, and you can actually read the output on a screen, and it just refreshes, and you go back to the start, and you just constantly it's just constantly scrolling through, which is really
rather than having to carry around huge tomes.
Absolutely. Well, it connects to your computer, or your mobile phone, or whatever. There's little Braille keyboards that you can connect to your mobile phone, so you can actually type in Braille if that's faster for you. So there's that kind of technology. That's something I've never, ever used. I know it exists, but I've never actually used it. I've only gone the old school, big clunker, Braille.
Yeah.
Ding. Carriage return.
Yeah.
Like an old typewriter.
Yeah.
Only six keys. Well, nine keys. But yeah, I think it's useful. I think it's a valuable skill to learn, but not everybody does these days.
Yeah.
Because these days we've got so much more.
Yeah.
Things that can... I've got a... it's called an Orcam, and looks like a black marker.
Yeah.
And you turn it on and you aim it at text, and it will actually convert what it sees as the text into audio output, and it will just read it to me. It's a somewhat robotic voice, but you get used to it, and I can speed it up, or slow it down, and
so we've got a little video of Penny using that I'll put on the Facebook page, and I'll work out how to put it into the show notes as well. and yes, I mean the intonation I imagine must take a little bit of getting used to, and that's why when I was asking about reading, I was thinking, you know, to have to listen to that as somebody read you a fiction book.
You learn to live past it.
Yeah, right.
And some people actually prefer that over, say, an audio book where somebody's actually read it.
Yeah.
Because you're when somebody's actually reading it to you, you get their feeling. Whereas the automated voice is just giving you very monotone.
Yeah, and you still factual, get to put
and you get to build your own world.
Oh, that's really interesting because I don't like audiobooks for exactly that reason. I'm like, you're reading it wrong.
Yeah, see, I get frustrated with it, but these days I can't physically, it takes so much out of me to read a book in print.
Yeah.
I used to read books with a magnifying glass when I was in my teens. Too much energy now. Yeah. Don't have that. I can actually read them with the Orcam, but 9 times out of 10, I am on the go. Mm. So I do listen to audiobooks.
Yeah.
And I suffer through somebody else's interpretation of it.
Yeah.
You know.
And I know some people love audiobooks, but
I mean, I do love them, but I am very conscious that, you know, I've got somebody else's interpretation to a degree.
Yeah.
But I'm aware that the Orcam will give me as raw as it can.
Yeah, almost blank canvas.
Almost blank canvas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get to fill in the blanks for myself.
Now, I remember seeing that you had trialed this Orcam.
Yes.
And then trying to get it was like trying
to struggle.
Jump through fiery hoops that kept moving.
Yes.
So What's that like when you find out that there is something and then it becomes so difficult for you to actually access?
I think a lot of the problem comes down to the fact that it's such new technology.
Mm.
And again, it's that people who are doing the final assessment don't actually understand what it is, how it can significantly help you in your life.
Mm.
They're not living it. And because it's such a spectrum, I mean, it helps me, it might not help the next person.
Yeah.
You know, so there might be 50 people who find it useless, but there might be one who just, like me, who thinks it's magic.
Yeah.
You know, and I know several other people who've caught on to the fact that I've got one and they think it's magic.
Yeah.
But because even among all of us, it's hard to hear about the technology and access it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem, I think. Mm. You know, it was just such a foreign concept. I mean, we've had optical character recognition, that's what it's called, for a long time, but not in a form of like a pen.
Yeah.
Or there's another version that you can wear on the side of your glasses, but that didn't work for me.
Mm.
That's such a foreign concept.
Yeah.
But it's getting to the point now where, like, think about the Apple Vision.
Mm.
You know, that, I'm sure there will be an app really soon, if it's not already in existence, where you can actually see text and have it read to you out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, everybody's got, like, your iPhones and your Google phones or whatever, they've all got voice output on them.
Yeah.
The accessibility's, like, baked into the device these days. Which, you know, is brilliant.
Mm. Yeah,
makes
yeah.
life so much easier. Yeah. You know, it's like you'll actually see people, like if you disclose to somebody on an Instagram post, for example, that you can't see. How are you using Instagram then?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Because there's this concept that if you're blind, well, you can't see anything.
We're still sitting there weaving brooms and you know, and making baskets.
Yeah,
and like connecting people's telephone calls with, you know, I mean, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Walking around with dark glasses and, you know.
And a stick and a dog.
Yeah. Not that you need both at the same time, but no, that's the concept.
Yeah. Look, uneducated people like me don't know you don't need both at the same time. I do know that. I was only joking. Yeah. I was, you know, leaning into the
stereotype. But some people, you don't. Yeah. That's.
And I've noticed that on Facebook, when you post, you know, your Christmas elves.
Yes.
Elf on the Shelf, you would always put the descriptor of the photo.
Yes. And that's because I don't always do it, but I did it particularly for that because I know some of my friends who have less or no vision, they can't partake in a photograph.
Yeah.
You know, you can slap a, like I had a photograph of, it was a really rough night. I couldn't think of what to do with this silly elf. And I hung my bra up between two doorknobs and I stuck an elf in one of the cups of my bra.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could put the photo up.
Yeah.
But somebody who can't see can't partake in that.
Yeah.
So I had the description of the image,
you
know, so that they can get a laugh as well.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, and even with the amount of vision that I've got, most of the time I can see photos if I look closely enough.
Yeah.
But every now and then I look at a photo and I haven't got enough info for my brain to fill in the blanks and I'm like, I don't know what everybody's...
It's dark or there's not enough contrast or...
Yeah, it's just like, is that a face or is it a dog or is it a...
Yeah.
I can't see enough info for my brain to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, and there'll be people that are laughing and, you know, making, you know, comments. And I read through all the comments. Guys,
trying to get some kind
still
of
still don't get it. I don't understand what that is. Scrolling on by.
Yeah.
And I have to live with the mystery.
Yeah.
Or I throw my phone over to one of the kids and say, here, what on earth is that?
Yeah. That's the good thing with having five kids. You've always got people to help.
There are people to help. Yes. Yeah. I have that. That is a definite benefit. Yeah. You know. So it's like I dropped a tablet on the floor. Where did it go?
Oh, God. God, the dog's eaten it.
And I don't have to panic anymore that my two-year-old's grabbed
it. Yeah, yeah.
We're past that phase.
Yeah. And you had another piece of tech with you today.
Yes.
I've forgotten what that's called.
That one is... I've forgotten what it's called. Pen Friend. That one's called a Pen Friend. And, again, it's like a black marker pen. but this one's got yellow.
Do you know, I think it's awesome that they make all of this stuff for blind people and they make it all black.
It's quite clever, isn't it?
Mm.
That, I mean, they have got yellow buttons.
Yeah.
You know, but still, it's not the brightest. You know, white and black, you know, blue plastic would be a far, you know, or red.
Yeah,
or
something in a contrast.
A little bit standout-ish. Yeah. But at the same time, there's a lot of people who don't want to stand out.
Yeah, don't want to draw attention. Yeah,
just want to blend into the background. So you can't win.
Yeah.
It's hard. But the pen friend is actually, it comes with all these little stickers. There is, as far as I can tell, I don't know, it's a bit of magic really. As far as I can tell, there is actually some kind of texture marking to the sticker.
Mm.
But the pen friend sends a little laser beam at the sticker and it will read whatever it's been programmed with. And I can program it with my own voice. So I press a button and I label the sticker with, you know, whatever, say I stick the sticker on the top of a can of beans and I'll say, I'll arm the thing to record and I'll say, baked beans. And next time I run the pen over that sticker, it will tell me, baked beans.
Yeah.
So I'm not feeding the kids dog food.
Yeah. Or you can make sure that you're putting on black shoes with black pants and not brown shoes with, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There's laundry labels. You know, how I was saying before,
yeah.
I quite often put things in my linen cupboard. I will wrap them up. And this is just a handy tip for everybody.
Mm.
I use old pillowcases to put like with like.
Yeah.
So all of my kids' sports carnival stuff, you know, the shakers, hairspray and the T-shirts. I have a pillowcase wrapped up in my linen cupboard, labelled sports stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just all there and ready to go.
Yeah.
And those are the labels that I use to
and
do that kind of
your
thing.
Scan your little yellow dot and it tells you what's in it.
Or I can label my sheets so I know which, is this a queen size sheet or is this the double, you know?
Yeah.
But I've got even wiser with that these days. I try to only buy like blue queen size sheets.
Yeah. Or if it's blue, it's ours. If it's red, it's
exactly. Yeah. Single size sheets, I tend to buy black
because
black is really easy to keep clean with kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. funny about that. Yeah, you know, I learned my lesson with white and pink and pale blue. Yeah. Gross. So yeah, things like that. But those tags are really, really useful, and that's, you know, it's great. I can use the pen above my head and I can use it down, you know, below my knees and I don't have to bend and stretch or struggle or pull down boxes and open them up to see what's in there, only to have to put them back. And
find out they were the wrong ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So tech is awesome, but also sometimes not great. So you're saying that if you lose your phone, sometimes that can be tricky to find.
Oh, yes. I can wonder. Up until recently, if I put my – because I use my phone – I don't have the screen time. You know how it tells you how much time you've used on your phone?
Yeah.
I don't have that on because my average, I think, was about 11 hours a day.
Yeah.
But that is because I use it as an electronic magnifier.
Mm-hmm.
I record voice notes. I have podcasts or whatever going, audio books or whatever going on it all the time. I am using Zoom, you pinch and Zoom to see anything that I need to look up, or I'm using it to convert your text to print or reading a web page.
Yeah.
I turn it to audio output. So my use of the phone, I'm using it constantly, all day long.
Yeah.
But I regularly put it down to use both hands, wander off to go and put a piece of clothing in a drawer, load the washing machine. Where's my phone?
Yeah.
And I would go round around the house looking for my phone, and looking for my phone involves me touching every surface as I go. And it gets time consuming and annoying, and Siri won't talk to me if she's laying face down. So I can wander around.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah, I've not really ever encountered anybody else, but I've experimented with other people's phones. I've got them to put them face down. And, you know, Siri, where are you? Or Siri, you know, play music or whatever, and that she just doesn't respond. She only works on her back.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I've actually cottoned on and I've got an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Which I've got a button on my wrist that I can
Find my iPhone.
Yeah, find my iPhone. Yeah. Or Apple AirTags. You know? I mean, even this morning when I was coming here, I was like, where did I put my handbag?
Mm.
So I had to ping my bag.
Yeah.
You know, but I've got AirTags on my devices. I am getting another one to put on my cane because quite often you'll...
Oh, my God.
You'll rush in to go to the toilet or whatever and you'll lean the cane up against the wall and... What wall was it?
Yeah.
Where did I leave it? Okay. Where have I left it? Or you'll fold it up because you're somewhere. Mm. And, you know, it's an inconvenient piece of... It's too long. So you'll fold it up and pop it somewhere where it's safe and out of the way. But where did I leave it?
Yeah.
Did I leave it in my handbag on Friday? Now it's Monday.
Yeah.
Or did I leave it standing up against the wall in the wrong part of the house?
On Friday and now it's Monday.
And now it's Monday.
And somebody's moved it because it's in their way.
Exactly. And, or did it fall over and go behind the bookcase, which I've encountered before.
Yeah.
You know, there's only a little bit of it poking out. So, you know.
Just enough to fall over.
Just enough. Yeah. Just enough for somebody to see.
Yeah.
If they could
do that.
If they
can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got that skill.
Now, the reason that I thought to invite you on the show today is because I saw so I'm navigationally challenged and I'm not shy about it. I will share it. I think, you know, let other people laugh at my misfortune. And I saw that you were, I think, catching public transport and you were using some new tech to catch public transport that didn't necessarily work the way
it
that you
didn't. I haven't managed to work it out yet, but you know, from what I know, and I haven't found anything to actually show me how to do it properly, but I believe if I can set waypoints. So if I was to put a waypoint at a bus stop that I'm approaching,
mm-hmm.
technically I think my phone or my watch or something would alert me to the fact that I'm approaching it and give me a heads up on when I need to press the button, because I either have to sit there looking at the map or in the old days, I used to sit there and just have to learn the path.
What it felt like. Yeah.
Which I've been caught out because they put a roundabout in during the day.
Oh, God.
There was a roundabout they put in during the day, and on my way to work and on my way home, the roundabout was there. I got off early and it was just on, the sun had gone down, but it was still, you know, I could still see some shadows. And I'm just like, this doesn't look like where I'm meant to be. Where am I?
Oh, God.
And I was only, like, the stop before where I was meant to be, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but I was confused for a minute. I'm just like, I don't know where I am. It felt right, but I'm not
until it
in the right spot. Yeah. Where am I? So, things can happen.
Yeah.
Your construction happens while you're not looking. Yeah, my waypoint thing didn't work out the other day, and I suddenly discovered I'd missed my stop, and... Because you know, while I'm playing with the tech, you know, I wasn't paying attention to my surroundings as much as I should be. And I knew where my next stop, you know, was not where I was meant to be. So I was like, okay, now I have the decision. What do I do? Because I don't know where I'm meant to be from here. I don't know how to get back to where I'm meant to be from this next place.
Yeah.
And I have to decide how I'm going to handle that. You know, and it's easier for, like, it was a transfer station. So it's easy for everybody else because you can get off and you can read the signs and, you know where to go. For me, I can't read the signs. I don't even know what bus stop I got off, to be honest. But I stopped and I consulted my phone, you know, the journey planner and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I got off because... You know, if I stayed on, I didn't know where I was going to go.
Who knows where you could end up?
I could end up even worse. But I knew if I got off, I knew I was close-ish to where I needed to be. And I have the attitude that there's nothing that $50 can't fix.
Mm-hmm.
I can always call a taxi or an Uber.
Yeah.
And get myself out of a pickle.
Yeah.
But I like the challenge. I don't actually mind getting lost because I like the challenge of finding my way home.
Yeah.
A bit like a homing pigeon. So I consulted my maps and, you know, my timetables and tried to work out what the next option was. And I decided the next thing to do was to get on the next bus into Perth City. And I was either going to go through, you know, one of the bus ports, one of the bus stations, mm-hmm. or I was going to end up at the train station. And the next one took me to the train station, which I hadn't been there in a long time. Things have changed, but familiar enough for me to actually get to the front entrance where I asked the guard, what platform am I meant to be on?
Yeah.
And he told me where I was meant to be, and it was all smooth sailing from there because I knew my way.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, they're the challenges. It's all an adventure.
Life is an adventure, isn't it? And you can. We all get to choose how we respond to things, don't we? So,
and it, you know, it's confirmation that I've still got good problem solving skills.
Yeah,
you know, I can still rise to the challenge, and it's confirmation that I've still got good mobility skills.
Yeah,
that I'm not just, I don't just have to wing it all the time. I don't just have to go by memory. I can sort out problems. So it's a confidence boost.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to be scared to go somewhere foreign because I know I can work it out.
Yeah.
Because currently, you know, well, like when I lived away down in Esperance for quite some time, then I moved back to Perth, I had to reorient myself and learn where I was again because I hadn't been using public transport for quite some time as well.
Yeah.
So they're skills that if you don't use them, you lose them.
Mm.
And getting lost forces you to use them. You're not just following the same path, doing the sheep thing.
Yeah.
You know, following along with the flock. I actually have to...
You got to step out of the flock and work out how you're going to do it.
It's like, where the heck am I and what am I going to do about it now?
And with that, so, you know, when you came back up from Esperance, you were saying that you were going to use the cane for a short amount of time until you, you know, until you kind of...
Worked out where all the lumps and bumps and dips and hollows are.
And got all of that sort of in your head. Yes. And then after that, you wouldn't need the cane.
Yep.
But you've been back a little while and the cane is still your friend.
And I still use it, yeah. It depends. I can sometimes put it away, you know, but I actually generally prefer to use it these days simply because things can pop up that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
It's a signal to other people, though, as well, that I'm, you know, working at a slight disadvantage. You know, and if I do happen to, you know, walk too close to you, because I know that there's a comfortable boundary for people, if I do happen to walk too close to you or I didn't genuinely see you and I walk in front of you and cut you off, you know there's a reason. I'm not just being rude. You know, I didn't mean, because I've got a blind side.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't mean to run into your pram.
Yeah.
Or I didn't mean to knock over your toddler. You know, accidents happen.
Yeah.
I also, to a degree as well, because I have got some sight, I can also see that some people don't respect what the cane is and what it means, or they don't know.
Yeah.
I've had people jump across the end of it.
Oh, God.
You know, it's like, and under those circumstances, I feel like it's there for an education purpose for all the other people that I know who can't see or can see less than I do. It must be harder for them.
Yeah. And that's, so one of the things that
And somebody running into your cane.
Oh, my God.
You know, confusing experience.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. When you've got no vision at all.
Yeah.
One of the things that came up in the episode that I did for International Women's Day was around how exhausting it is to have to be the educator all the time. Yes.
Yep.
And
I actually found that really interesting because I did actually listen to that one.
Yeah.
And I agree to a degree, but I also have the attitude that if I'm not educating people...
Then who is?
Who is.
Mm.
And somebody might be educating who isn't from my level of comprehension of the situation. You know, it's like the gentleman teaching obstetricians, you know.
and I think I sort of struggle with it.
It's a balance thing.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that personal experience is the personal experience that really makes impact and really teaches a lesson.
And the reason, so I struggle with it a little bit because I'll just share sort of the fight that's happening in my brain at the moment.
Yep.
I know somebody who, she lives with a disability and she thinks, don't ask me questions. It is none of your business. I'm not here for you to like to be your entertainment while you find out why X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Well, because some of those questions aren't relevant either.
Well, that's
why I'm in this situation is not really the question. The fact is I'm in this situation and what do I deal with and how can I help you?
Well, that's it.
And get through life easily. You know, is this office working?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
Could I do something differently?
Yeah. I also think that I've really tried hard to raise my children not to see people with... Well, I've raised them to see people with disabilities.
Yeah.
I think we live in a society where it's don't stare, it's rude.
Yes. And on so many times I've encountered people.
Yeah.
What's that big stick?
Why does her
eye look funny?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like that all the time. And I'm like, no, ask questions.
Yeah. And I remember being in a lift when my son was, I mean, he was really, really little, really little. And
kids,
oh my God, don't you love the little ones? And we're in the lift and there was a man who was in a wheelchair and he was missing a leg. Yep. And, you know, how long does the lift take? And I tell you what, it took a damn long time. And he said, Mummy, that man doesn't have a leg. I said, that's right, buddy. What am I supposed to say?
Exactly, yep.
He goes, that's really sad, isn't it, Mummy? Like, we're in a lift, you know, this is not much space. Really,
yep.
And I said, well, that depends. We don't know this man's story. And him not having a leg, that might be something to celebrate because he's still alive. And we don't know we don't know the background of that.
Exactly.
And that's not for us to say that it's really sad because he's still here.
Exactly.
And
it might be a relief for him to not
have
a leg.
That's exactly it.
You don't know.
And so we can't...
And that's a concept that so many people struggle with.
Yeah.
That it might actually be... You might actually be quite content with your lot.
Yeah.
And most of the time I am.
Yeah. Well, we got out of the lift and I just sort of mouthed, I'm so sorry.
Yep.
And they stopped me and said, don't ever be sorry. Do you know how many people would have shut that down or how many people would have just gone and looked away?
Yep.
Somebody saw, like the wife said, somebody saw my husband and didn't pity him.
Yep.
And like, I just think as a society where we're teaching our kids, like with you saying, people don't respect the cane.
Yeah.
But when I went to school, we learned that, you know, when people are using a cane, they're using it to see.
Yes.
And if you get in the way, well, then you're stopping them being able to be safe.
Exactly.
But do kids get taught that now? Like your kids would have.
Oh, my kids don't get caught. But my kids don't.
They probably don't care.
They don't care.
They love you too much to care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, my daughter picks it up and jumps the cracks in the pavement. It's like I'm trying to use that. She's like picking it up and jumping the cracks in the pavement. You know, it's just, but I don't know. I don't know if kids are really taught.
Yeah.
And with everybody's so inclusive.
Mm.
They want to be inclusive. But I don't know that we're actually doing it in such a way that we're really understanding what we're including.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's great that you want to bring everybody together, but you have to understand where everybody's coming from and how they're different and how you can actually do things better to not just include someone but make them feel part of.
Yeah.
Because you can invite somebody to a party, but it's useless if they're sitting in the corner of the room.
Yeah. Unless that's where they want to be. That's their happy place.
Yeah,
if
that's their happy place. But at least allow them the opportunity to come in.
And participate. Yeah.
Or be content to go and sit in the corner with one.
Yeah.
You know, with somebody who wants to be there.
And that, I guess, is where I also struggle with this idea of not stepping up and not being the educator.
Yeah.
Because it is totally not the same. I get that. But in situations where, you know, so you know that my husband does tabletop gaming and we run events and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's like a big debate over whether or not these little miniatures should have boob armor. And like, honestly.
I love these kind of things.
That's awesome. I know. And so, it became huge. Like it was a huge thing with these men in the community, what I call white knighting, because these female models are being sexualized because they've got boob armor. Like, I mean, they're going, but women have boobs. You get that, right? Like, it doesn't make sense that you would not have boob armor because otherwise, where are their boobs going? Well, honey, if they don't have boobs, how do you know? Like, it doesn't make sense. Why are you making this a big deal? I think
you're putting too much effort into it. You're putting too much significance on the issue.
But that's exactly
until one of these little models stands up and says...
And says, I am rejecting because I'm a double D getting squished into an A-cup boob armour.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Yep.
But I think if... So in that situation, often I'll step in and go, do you know what, you're overthinking this.
Yes.
I actually don't need for you as a man to come in and tell me that this is not appropriate for females in this community.
Exactly.
Because I'm more than capable of saying, do you know what, this particular model where everything's hanging out and, yep, you know, she's got... that's not okay.
Exactly. This one's gone too far.
Yeah.
Yep.
But give me the opportunity to say... I don't feel comfortable having that in this space.
Yes.
You don't need to make
this
that choice
for me. This one's
not
quite appropriate.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I think if we don't, for whatever thing
that
is...
And it's hard because I appreciate people wanting to do the right thing and consider what might be good for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I want somebody to... You look at a doorway and go, well, that step's a bit big.
Yeah.
If somebody can't see... Or if somebody hasn't got great mobility in their legs, they're going to trip over that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I want people to do that, but at the same time, I don't want that in, you know, to the point where somebody is actually taking away my autonomy.
Yeah.
And it's a fine balance. And if you don't give me that option, you know, or don't speak for me.
Yeah.
Allow me to speak for myself.
Yeah.
But do think, you know... what might be helpful.
Yeah.
Try to preempt, but don't take it away from me either.
And you guess
it's hard.
Is it okay to say what's going to be helpful in this situation? So, you know, going back a few decades, when you first came to a class with me,
yep,
you know, I remember saying to you, no problem, what do you need?
Yeah, exactly. And that's perfect. You know?
But sometimes you're like, are the simple things, are they actually really the best? You know, giving you the space to be your own expert, but going, well, I'm not going to go, well, Penny needed this, so therefore all blind people are going to need
this.
Yeah,
no, that's not how it works. Yeah. That's not how it works at all. You know, and it comes down to, you know, asking, you know, what do you need to each individual?
Yeah.
And every single person is going to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, able-bodied or otherwise. Mm. You know, you might have a room of women where... some are comfortable sitting in the back. Some are perfectly fine with sitting up the front.
Yeah.
You know, one might be carrying a ring cushion in her handbag because she needs that to sit on.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's different.
Yeah.
And what works for them is not going to work for the next person.
Mm.
And it just comes down to being considerate of each other.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what circumstances we're working with.
Yeah.
It just comes down to thinking about how do I make everybody comfortable as best I can.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always going to be perfect.
And that's the concept of equity, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's for, you know, the service, Women's Health Service, that's 100% why our value is equity and not equality.
Yes.
Because equality doesn't work.
No.
And yet when you look
life's not fair. Well, you can't always have equality.
But even if you could, do we want it? Because that's like saying, well, you know, all blind people who come to a belly dancing class with me, they all need to be able to have their hands on my hips for all of the lesson.
Yeah.
They don't all need that.
No, exactly.
But just because one blind woman doesn't need that
doesn't mean that
the one who does need it shouldn't get it.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just...
it's really hard to place rules on that.
It's just about meeting people where they're at.
Yep, exactly. Mm. And working out, finding ways, just being open to finding ways to overcome problems.
Yeah.
And sometimes accepting that it's a problem and there's no real way of overcoming it as much as you'd like to.
Yeah.
Because that's just life.
Not everything has a fix. I would have found a way to make it on my husband to have to do nappies. I think you're amazing. I mean, I know he had to go to work and you can't leave them all day, but still.
You know, there's always the garden hose.
Yeah. 100%.
There are ways and means of dealing with things when they get out of control.
Yeah. That's right. And I think we've all garden hosed at one point.
It's like, come on, kid, this is not happening.
Yeah.
Shower time.
Yeah.
You know, this is more than I can handle.
Yeah. Are there any... so I am aware that this has now become two episodes.
That's fine.
Are there any... I'm going to use your term, blind lady problems, that make you laugh?
Oh, all the time. All the time. The number of times I've walked into the wrong bathroom is just insane.
That must be tempting, though. You know, if you go to the theatre or something like that, and the women's sometimes queue I've actually done it.
Yes, I actually have. Yeah, that's a blind card. Yeah, one I've pulled. Oh, sorry. Oh,
oops.
Sorry, I didn't realise I was in the wrong one. Been and done.
Spot that urinal with eight men.
Walked straight. It was on the blind side. Walked straight past.
If it wasn't, I closed my eyes. I didn't want to see it.
Couldn't see it anyway. Even if I had my eyes open. But buffets. Eat all you want. Buffets are. Yeah, that's a mystery and a half.
Oh, yeah.
The number of times I've got back and gone, I don't like anything on this plate. Chuck it in the middle, go back around.
But
you get to try things you never thought you'd try.
Well, I was just thinking really nice. But then you go, but I've no idea what it was.
Yeah, and that's a problem too. Yeah.
You know, that was amazing.
That was amazing, but I don't know what it was.
Don't know what it was, don't know where it was.
Exactly.
No idea.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you know, it's a hit and miss whether I'll ever find it again back on that.
Yeah, on the same carousel. You know,
or sometimes they'd actually take something away because they've run out of it and they'd put something else in its place.
Oh,
so you go back to get seconds and go, that's not what I had.
It's not the same thing.
The buffets were always fun. They're not so popular anymore.
No.
You know, the good old Sizzler was, it was always a fun and outing.
Yeah, like a mystery box.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just one of those mystery dinners.
I was going to say, it's a whole new meaning to potluck dinner, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. You know, so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, far out.
Lucky I didn't have any allergy issues.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that just makes life. Nightclubbing was always entertaining. And I actually was lucky enough to have a friend who was she used to be very descriptive.
Yeah.
She'd be like, look around to 11 o'clock, there's a guy looking in your direction. You know, look over that way and smile.
And we'll be nice.
Okay. Or, you know, there's a guy right behind you, don't turn around.
Yeah.
Don't.
He's
whatever
looking
you do,
in your direction.
Turn around.
Do not smile.
Do not smile. Look the other way. Walk now.
Yeah. You really need to
come
toilet.
My way, move
together.
Around behind me. So, you know, I mean, that was always a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and those kind of things just make you laugh. There's other things, unfortunate events that you laugh later.
Mm.
Brain filling in the blanks. And I remember walking along with a friend of mine who also can only see out of one eye. And she said, it's really disgusting people leaving their rubbish on the side of the road. And a sighted friend runs up behind us once we got past the rubbish. And she said, that was a homeless man.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, oh no, how embarrassing. And you just feel like but you can laugh about it later. You have to laugh about it later. I was also at Murdoch University, garbage bag again. But I was convinced it was a big black swan.
Oh!
Sitting on the side of the pathway. But it's just the way the garbage bag was.
Yeah.
You know, and in my brain, it was a swan. I'm like, what is a swan doing here? That's really,
that's
garbage
bizarre,
bag.
Isn't it? Less bizarre.
Yeah. Talking to other people's children as if they're mine.
Oh.
Just so many fun things.
Yeah.
Hailing a cement mixer, thinking it was a bus. And then wishing the ground would open up and grab me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I've also walked up to a friend who I was shopping with. I thought she was my friend anyway. I walked up beside the lady. She was standing at the meat counter and I said to my friend, I'm not buying meat here. It looks like garbage.
Oh, God.
And then I realised it wasn't my friend. I'm sorry. She was just wearing the same colours. So, yeah, there's all sorts. Holding other people's hands instead of my husband. Yeah. It's got its perils.
Or its perks.
Or its perks.
Depending on whose hand you
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've sat on a gentleman in a theatre.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness.
It's like, oh, the seat wasn't empty. Sorry.
You've really got to learn not to wear the same colour clothes as the chair.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. You know, or I really should, you know, be on time so I'm not going in
so
the dark.
So you're not going into the dark. Yeah. That's probably easier to control than making sure other people wear brighter clothes.
Much.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so, yeah, there's lots of funny mishaps along the way.
Yeah, and like you say, you've got to be able to laugh,
you do.
Right?
You do.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to deal with if you laugh.
Yeah.
There's handfuls of times where I get frustrated with it.
Yeah.
and moments where I wish things were different, generally involving, you know, watching my kids do things like sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, special events like they're dancing on stage or things like that.
Mm.
But they're the biggest ones where I feel it most, or days where it's stinking hot and I still have to go out and I've got to do public transport.
Ah, yeah.
Because there's no other option.
Yeah.
And other people just go, oh, I don't like driving. I don't like going on public transport. It's really horrible. I'm like, it's my only option.
Yeah. It's either this or walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or when it's bucketing down with rain.
Yeah.
And those, it's amplified when I'm meant to take my kids or I have to take my kids somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the extra time it must take with public transport as well.
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah. You factor that. You have to factor that in all the time.
Plus getting lost when you're trying to use waypoints. I mean, I have to factor in getting lost time as well. So
you're
not alone with that.
If I work it out, it'll be beneficial. But, you know, I could end up in a few different places.
Sometimes that's nice as well. I've discovered some great places.
Absolutely. It's a great way to discover new cafes.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I don't know where I am, but I can smell coffee.
Someone's back garden, but I don't care.
Yeah, it's fine. Someone, you're meeting a new friend. It's all good. Have a chat with a stranger. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but they're the few moments. You have to laugh or you'll cry.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And crying doesn't get you anywhere.
No. I suppose it's those kinds of things I was thinking when you have children and not being able to see their faces
the
same way
thing.
And,
yep.
You know, and as they're growing and changing and, you know, obviously you were there for their first steps and things like that, but not being able to experience it in the same way.
Yeah. And like, I think forward to the future, like watching them
walk down the aisle.
And, you know, watching them, you know, interact with their kids in a playground.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing is really... not impossible for me because I have a little bit of vision.
Yeah.
I tend to use my camera.
Yeah.
My phone camera for that.
Yeah.
When I was a young child, I had a little telescope.
Oh, wow.
It's only in the last few years I've actually recognised that my earliest memories from watching things away from me are round.
Oh, yeah.
And my memories now are rectangular.
Ah.
Which is really, it's a weird...
Yeah.
You know, I have that frame around all my memories. It's weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's those kind of things impact the most. Those I will still be there for them. I'll still remember them, but I experience them differently.
Mm.
And it's annoying that other people get to see other people's facial facial stuff that I miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go to a comedy show
and
there's a certain element of visual
stuff
that I just don't get.
Yeah.
You know, that comedy's always going to be tricky, but things like movies and stuff I tend to listen to with the audio description as well now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that...
But
especially when
again,
it's dark
so much
and moving quickly, you know, and it does. It's somebody else's interpretation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like if you're watching a dark, creepy movie, I don't get the dark bits at all.
Yeah.
So I miss all that bit.
Yeah.
So somebody else's interpretation is... useful.
But I'm just thinking about how
because I didn't see him climb out of the bathtub with a knife.
Corner.
Yeah, you know.
But so much extra work for you to have to listen to that at the same time.
Yeah, you have to filter through it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that feels like complete overload.
Yeah, I can see how that is, but for me it's the added information that I totally miss.
That you need in order to be able to
see
put the jigsaw together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't understand, like... You know, how is she screaming? Because I didn't see the man approaching her.
Yeah.
Why is she screaming? What's she running from?
Yeah. And thinking about it, like with comedies and things, like comedy shows,
More
and more we're seeing inclusive shows where they have sign. You know, here we have Auslan.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Auslan interpreters, they're hilarious.
I've actually seen, because I've watched on videos where they are really demonstrative.
Yeah.
And that's actually useful. Being over demonstrative gives me more clues.
Yeah.
But not everybody's demonstrative at all.
No.
Some people are. And that's where I struggled with the masks.
Yeah.
Because even the voice was muffled.
Yeah.
And what little visual I do get was masked.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, right.
And unless somebody does great big gestures with their hands.
Yeah.
I struggle, you know, and that was really, that was a challenging plus the mask being up over my nose would also interfere with my ability to see below me.
I will admit, I had that exact same experience.
And fogging up with glasses.
Even without the fogging up, I found that when I was wearing a mask, I couldn't see as well.
Yeah.
It was...
Because if you're wearing it properly, if it's sitting up over your nose, it's underneath your eye and it actually impacts with your ability to look down.
Yeah.
And the reflective light.
Mm.
And I'd be found different colours were better.
Yeah. I always be like, oh, I can't do this. I can't see. Like, it's just too hard. I'm going home.
Yep.
I can't see. I can't hear. No. Exactly. I'm out.
And like the whole try not to touch things.
Oh, yeah.
Try not to touch stuff.
Yeah.
Unless I touch things, like going through a clothes shopping.
Yeah.
I touch everything. I'm going for two things, colour and texture.
Yeah.
Before I even look at the garment.
Yeah.
You know, to work out whether it's a shirt, skirt.
Yeah.
I just run my hands through the thing to feel
itchy,
what it
itchy,
is.
Itchy, not itchy. This one will be
exactly.
good.
Exactly. Yeah. Satiny, you know, feels like some kind of woven.
Yeah.
Woven brocade, you know.
Yeah.
Everything comes down to touch.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they're
saying... We're not supposed to touch anything.
Don't touch anything.
Mm.
And then don't touch yourself after you've touched things.
Yeah.
And sanitise. And it's all great, but, you know, I need to touch to work out where the edge of the bench is.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need to touch to work out where the ATM machine is so that I can touch the right button.
Yeah.
I need to feel the pad to touch the right buttons. I can't just pick with one finger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know... Yeah, hand sanitising was a thing.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And then when this mask's on my face, I have even less ability to...
I'm just imagining the people who must have been, luckily you couldn't see to see the daggers they were shooting you.
Oh, yeah.
I have just cleaned that and she has touched all of it.
Exactly, exactly. This woman just came in and she wiped her hands
touched
over
everything.
You know, and, you know, because the queues changed.
Yeah.
The way people line up changed.
And...
If everybody is 1.5 metres apart, I can't tell whether it's a queue or just people standing around. And I can't see the sign to say queue here.
Yeah.
It was so many times I was just standing there, you know, 1.5 metres away from someone who wasn't actually in a queue at all.
To just be looking at perfume.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just wondering why I'm standing there for so long. Just going,
you're trailing them 1.5 metres apart the whole way around.
Yeah. Yeah, they move forward, I move forward. And then go, oh, the line's over there. Oops.
I've been queuing for 20 minutes.
Exactly. Exactly. And that was normal.
Yeah.
That was normal. So frustrating.
Oh. I'm laughing, but only because I totally feel your frustration and, yeah.
You know, it was just a really interesting time. Mm. A really interesting time.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that was part of the... This is why I want the OrCam. So I can see, like I can have a chance of working out where the queue is because there's a sign saying queue here.
Queue here, yeah.
I can't see that unless I happen to determine that that's the moving line of people. Yeah.
Oh,
and that comes down to watching people around me. And that's, I'm lucky.
Yeah, that's
because
it.
Because there's people with less vision who walk into a place and go, now what? Yeah,
now what?
Mm-hmm. And if you've got that barrier of a cane or whatever and people aren't forthcoming to come up and say, do you need any help?
Yeah.
Because you can't necessarily see somebody to ask, I need help.
Yeah.
Can you help me? You know, that's where that becomes a real issue.
Yeah.
But then they could just as easily know where they're going.
Yeah, that's it, because I've done it in,
exactly. And, you know, if you do ask somebody if they need help, please don't be offended if they say, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because they're good.
Yeah.
They've worked it out.
Yeah.
And they actually appreciate.
Yeah.
You know, 99.9% of the time that person will appreciate that somebody else actually asked them.
Yeah.
You know, are you okay? Certainly don't grab people. I've been grabbed as well, walking along the train platform.
Yeah.
I've been grabbed by a man and kind of... hauled sideways because I was too close to the edge.
On the lumpy parts that's actually designed
on
for.
Yes, on the bumpy parts that are designed for me to actually feel where I am. That's what the tactile paving.
Yeah.
You know, they're either a dome shape or they're long strips.
Yeah.
The long strips actually show you a direction. The bumpy ones tell you you're near something edge. That's something that needs to be aware of, you know, like an overhanging thing or a drop off or whatever. But don't, you know, do you need help?
Yeah.
Not grabbing. You're too close to the edge.
And
like, I know where I'm going. Don't you worry, honey.
That's it. And also, don't grab a random stranger.
Yeah, no. No, if you wouldn't grab a random stranger, don't grab a blind random stranger.
Yeah.
Kind of gets people tense.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know,
but at the same time, from his perspective, he may have felt like I was going to go over the edge of the platform, which is a concern.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go over the edge of the platform.
Yeah.
But...
And I think,
hey, do you need help?
Yeah, I think it's always good to...
and then grab.
It's always good to acknowledge that generally people are coming from a good place.
Yes.
Like, he was no doubt trying to be helpful, but there are better ways to do it.
Yes.
And like you say, hey, did you need help? Or do you know how close... Just letting you know you're really close to the edge there.
Yep.
That's what this bumpy...
That's what the bumpy means.
Yeah.
And that's what my cane is telling me.
Yeah.
Thank you for thinking of me.
I'm all good. Yeah.
And that's where it comes down to the education part.
Mm.
Somebody can't learn that unless they're in that situation and being taught by somebody. I mean, you can tell somebody, but it doesn't mean anything until you're in that situation. And that's where I struggled with the, you know, always being the educator part of it. Because sometimes this is the life we're living and it is our job to educate.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. Because if you don't, people don't know.
And
we're such a small part of the community that... I mean, there is it's nothing I know of, but quite possibly there are people out there who never encounter somebody who can't see or never encounter anybody with a significant hearing impairment.
Yeah.
Or only pass like 3 people in a wheelchair in their lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the physical disabilities.
Yeah.
You know, so unless we are actually speaking up every now and then and saying, this is what it's like for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't actually blame people for having stereotypes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's I totally agree with you. And I think sometimes stereotypes exist for a reason.
Oh, they Yeah.
And
they are actually useful sometimes.
Yeah.
It helps me enormously because it fills in a blank for me. You know, if there's a couple of clues that, you know, mesh with a stereotype, I might be making a presumptive... You know, I might not be on the right path, but I have clues as to what that person might be like.
Yeah.
And I know whether it's right or wrong, whether I should be more cautious or relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate, but sometimes those clues can actually keep me safe.
Mm.
Whether it's right or wrong, it's not fair. Life's not fair.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we have to go with Marvel things that blind people are likely to be supervillains. But maybe you've got a dark secret that I don't know about.
Wish we all could. It'd be fun.
That'll inject some joy into life somehow.
Absolutely.
So are there any other thoughts or any other things that you'd like to share around, you know, what it's like living with vision impairment, or ways that people can support somebody if they, you know, meet somebody on the street or at a conference, or, you know, anything else you want
to
add?
Just be open to saying hi. Mm. Just be open to saying hi and, you know, offering a helping hand if you need, if, you know, if that person needs it for whatever reason, you know, even if you're at a conference and, you know, you've been there most of the morning and you're heading off to the loo and you've said hi earlier on, did you know where the loos are?
Yeah.
Do you need help to the toilet?
Yeah, because I'm going if you want to,
you know,
join the pilgrimage.
Yeah. You want to come with me to go and get in the coffee line? Because it's a queue.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
I can show you which end of the queue to join.
Exactly. Yeah, don't try and jump the front. That's people don't like that, whether you're blind or not.
Or help you work out which milk you're supposed to pour in.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Or there's 3 types of cake.
Yeah.
You know, well, they're all brown. They're all varying shades of brown. Yeah, I don't know whether
that's beef. That's not cake.
Oh, the number of times I've walked away with the wrong, like I said, buffets are just horrible. Horrible in a good way.
Yeah.
You've just got to have the right attitude.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. Just be open to helping.
Yeah.
But accepting if the person's okay.
Yeah.
And they might be okay for that minute, but they might look a bit lost later on in the day. Open up and help again if something happens later in the day. Always laugh. Yeah. Always laugh. And don't feel bad. You don't need to avoid words like see and look and watch. You just don't. And honestly, if somebody ever does get upset about that kind of thing, the problem is theirs and they need to work through the issue. It's not yours. You don't need to change the way you speak to accommodate the one person who's sensitive for things like that. They need to work out their sensitivity. Mm. This is life. And that's just a symptom of a bigger problem that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know.
That's it. We don't know people's stories or what people have got on their plate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the majority of people will, you know, have a chuckle over jokes. And if anything, you know, have a chuckle over blind jokes or, like, when you use the word see in a sentence and go, ooh. And then it's, or like it's me fine. Going,
yeah, it's a visible cue that you can't. Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute. Hang on. Like, it doesn't feel right to call a cane a visible cue that
exactly.
you're blind.
Exactly. You know, I mean, asking a person what they envision their life to be like, you know.
That's going to be tricky.
Yeah. You know, dark. Yeah. But blindness isn't dark, so, you know. Yeah, you know, it's just, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're all just people. We're all just coming at the same problems from a different direction.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I think the biggest thing that I've learned from knowing you is don't make assumptions.
Yeah, don't make assumptions. Yeah. And
don't assume that just because somebody's blind they can't do things.
Oh.
Because
in some ways, some of us are doing more.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to get through life, in some ways, some of us are doing things more than you are.
Yeah.
To.
Yeah, definitely.
It's 10 times the effort to get to the same goal.
Yeah. But even, you know, the idea of somebody who's visually impaired doing woodworking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that feels dangerous.
Well, there are elements of danger to it. I mean, there's some things that I'm, you know, I could probably manage on my own if I tried hard enough, but I might lose a limb.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So we have supervision.
Yeah.
We have somebody standing by to help me with that.
Yeah. To pick up the finger that you cut
measuring
off
I kind of suck at.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, I'm not really good with measuring.
You know how we say measure twice and cut once?
Yeah, well, for me it's like measure and then get somebody to check.
Yeah.
And then let them check again before we cut.
Yeah, perfect.
Or just accept the fact that it's going to be smaller
now.
It's
going to be wonky.
You know, it's smaller or slightly bigger. We'll just adjust as we go.
100%, yeah.
But, you know, that's crafting. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't do that?
Exactly.
Go, well, that didn't turn out the way I thought. Well, I'm going to turn it into something
else
now.
Yeah, exactly.
That looks wrong. I'm going to make it something different.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, don't make presumptions.
Yeah.
You know, just...
And the other thing is don't assume that just because somebody was walking with a white cane for 5 days out of the week that she can't be on her rollerblades the next day.
Exactly.
And she's not faking it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, to my benefit, the when we've been going, it's a Wednesday morning and it's a really relaxed, very small group of people that go.
Yeah.
And to my surprise... The first week we went, there was a 70th birthday going on.
Oh!
Like, goals.
Yeah.
I want my 70th birthday to be at the roller rink. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but I, you know, even if you're not sighted, you can still roller skate.
Yeah.
You know, if you know how.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it. You can still learn.
You can still learn. Mm. You can still learn. It's a matter of balance and it's a matter of feeling your way and you find ways to, you stay close to the edge, work with the railings.
Yeah.
You know people around you. You get to listen. You know, you can hear people's wheels move.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear cars on the street as you're crossing. But I think we weren't recording at that point when I was saying electric cars are really hard to hear.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason why I do use my cane now when I quite often would put it away.
Yeah.
You know, in years gone by. Because I'd know the lay of the land. I'd know where I was. I knew where the bumps and the curbs were. But these days I've got electric cars to deal with and there's no rules on them making noise. They are talking about making noise.
Yeah.
Putting something on them to make a noise.
Yeah.
But they're not there yet.
But even so many cars, you know, when they stop at traffic lights now, the engines turn up like...
Yes.
And that's not just electric cars. There's lots of cars that do that. Lots of
cars that do that, yes. And another thing I can put in, you know, as far as people being courteous, it's fabulous. When you're walking along with a white cane, it's fabulous when people are courteous. But one of my pet hates, don't pull up next to me and then presumably you're either waiting or you're waving me across. I'm guessing you're waving me across because if you've stopped, I'm guessing that's what you're doing because I can't see you through the window. Or I've had people yell out, it's safe.
Yeah.
But I have to trust a total stranger.
Yeah.
And your motor sitting next to me in my right ear is stopping me from hearing what's coming and going on the opposite side of the street.
Yeah.
It's courteous,
yeah.
And I get where people are coming from, but it messes up with my perception of what's going on around me. And please, no more mowing lawns on the corner of the road when I'm taking my kids to school, because that messes up with me as well.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
I can't hear past your lawnmower. Yeah. It's horrible.
You'll be fine out the front of mine. It all died in the last heat thing. And
oh, yeah. That's,
you don't have to mow sand. Actually,
that's pretty much how it is for most people. But yeah things like that can mess up with your bearings.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not everybody understands that.
Mm.
You know, and more than once I've actually been in a situation where a car's stopped and I've tried to wave them on and they've refused to move. So it's a who's going to move first? And I've actually walked to the back of their car.
Yeah.
And stood still at the back of their car. And then they go and drive off, I presume.
Yeah. Far out. I was just trying to be helpful.
Just trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
And they're leaving with an attitude, but, you know.
And they might not be. We're putting that on them.
Well, yeah. But they're leaving not understanding.
Yeah.
And I don't have that opportunity to educate.
Yeah. But
for me, that's one of my pet hates.
I've just got this mental picture of people driving a car trying to wave a blind person to cross the road.
And I find that funny because I'm assuming that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because I know people do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't see that.
No, of course you can't.
And I have to sit there and wonder, you know, do they recognise that they're doing something that I can't see? But apparently maybe they don't. It's that disconnect, you know.
Yeah, and because, I mean,
so we've got the concept, but we're really missing it as well. And that's where I need to educate.
If I'm driving, I will generally, you know, obviously not if I'm driving along Albany Highway at 70, I won't stop to let a pedestrian cross. But if I'm driving through a shopping centre or whatever.
Like a car park, yep.
I will always, a car park, not a shopping centre. I meant a shopping centre car park. I will always stop because I think I'm in an air-conditioned car or I'm in a car with the heater. You're outside in whatever weather conditions it is, whether it's raining or it's hot or whatever.
Yep.
I will stop so that you can walk in front of me.
Yep.
But you're right, I do. I always stop and I either like give them a nod or a wave or you think, oh, yeah, I wonder if I've done that with people with a cane and just not realised.
My mother has done it. My mother has done it. We've pulled up at an intersection and my mum has said, is anybody coming the other way? And I've actually said to her, I don't know, drive out a couple of inches, let's see.
I've got you covered from here to the end of the dashboard.
Yeah.
After that.
Nobody's in my space. It's fine.
Oh, dear.
But it's easy for people to forget.
Yeah.
Even my mum.
I mean, it's only been 49 years.
Yeah.
She'll get there.
Yeah, she'll get there eventually. You know, the thing is, I'm so capable in other things.
Yeah.
You know, it like confuses the matter.
Well, look, I mean, I remember you like catching up with you after you had one of your babies.
Yep.
And saying to you, you know, you came in with food and a baby under one arm and that kind of stuff. And me going, oh, did you manage to find a park all right? And you're like, yeah, because I totally drove here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, well, look, I mean, because I'm an idiot. Yeah. But just, it just doesn't occur to me.
No. And that's the way I like it.
Mm.
I mean, I...
And also it means that you get to laugh at me when I say stupid things like that.
Absolutely. But that's what I've always worked towards is, I mean, I want to be included.
Yeah.
But I want to also integrate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to be an afterthought to be included.
Yeah.
You know, I've done my best to just seamlessly-ish slide in alongside everybody else.
Mm.
But not everybody has that luxury.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been lucky enough to, and that's why, you know, I don't mind people asking questions, you know, because not everybody's capable of explaining their situation on their own behalf.
Yeah.
And if I can give a few hints to people along the way, they might have a little bit more understanding when dealing with somebody who's not quite as capable of dealing with things in their own, for themselves.
And that's, you know, I'm so grateful that you've been a guest today and let me ask so many questions. I was trying to think of where to try to take the episode of going, but I've just got so many questions.
We're a small segment of the community, but there's a lot involved.
Well, there is, and there's a lot that when you don't live with vision impairment, there's a lot that you don't have to ever consider.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of things that I thought would be more of a big deal, and you're like, you just do it, Emma.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
You just do it. I mean,
nappies need to be changed. You just change them.
Yep. Babies cover themselves in mess. Yeah. They get involved in things. Oh, gosh, my fourth child, he was always involved in things that he shouldn't be touching. You'd think that I'd have everything covered by the fourth baby, but no, he found things that he should never touch.
Yeah.
You know, he was always involved in stuff.
Yeah, he'll be an engineer. Yeah.
He's a talker these days. I think he'll be a lawyer. But he was always very hands-on.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you left the tomatoes on the bench while you were unpacking the shopping.
Not anymore.
They're on the floor with the apple corer through them. You know, it's fun.
Yeah.
Just fun.
Yeah.
And it only takes a moment.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. But thank you so much for all of your time today. I really appreciate
it. It's been fun.
I've really enjoyed the conversation, and I've really enjoyed thinking about things that I just wouldn't have considered. So, I really appreciate all your time and your energy and
thanks
your
for having me.
Open sharing.
It's fun to tell the funny stuff. There's so many funny sides to it. So
yeah.
It's fun to share that it's not all doom and gloom and we don't all need fixing.
No, that is so true.
Yep.
Yeah. You're not broken.
We're not broken.
Yeah. And we're you're not a problem.
Living life differently. And there's actually so much to enjoy about it.
Mm.
You know, you enjoy where you're at.
And I think, that's such a beautiful way to end, that you're not broken. It's just different. Yep. And there's still all of those moments of joy.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for today's episode of A Hidden World of Women, a podcast brought to you by Women's Health and Wellbeing Services. For more information on the services we offer, head to whws.org.au or Women's Health and Wellbeing Services on YouTube and social media. Looking forward to the next episode where we uncover the hidden world of women.